I want to ask you if you have a copy of God's Word to find the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel's in the Old Testament between Ezekiel and Hosea. I want to share with you a very familiar passage of Scripture today, one dealing with Daniel and the lion's den. And if you've been in church for any length of time, you've probably learned that in a Sunday school lesson, a Bible study group at some point in time. But I want to share with you this morning on the thought of the God who is able, and I want to tie that into our responsibility as followers of Christ to live life with a purpose. And so as we begin this morning, I want to ask you a few questions. These are rhetorical, so you don't have to shout out or raise your hand. But my question is, what is your perspective of God? Do you believe that you serve a God who is capable of doing any and everything, or do you serve a God who has limited abilities? Now, when I ask you that question, I want you to be very careful how you answer that question, because the true answer to that question has to do with whether or not you've ever put him to the test. You cannot say that you serve a God who is capable of doing any and everything until you know for sure he's capable of doing any and everything, because he's done something in your life. And the way that you're going to experience God doing things in your life has a lot to do with whether or not you are living life with a purpose. When you live your life with a purpose, with God's purpose, the way that God wants you to live your life and the focus that God wants you to have in your life, you're going to ruffle some feathers with some folks. You're going to experience the onslaught of the enemy, Satan, who is going to come against you, because he does not want you to live your life on mission for God. And you are going to have God step in and do something in your life to sustain you and to take care of you and to minister to you during these times. And so when I ask you, do you believe your God is capable? Do you believe your God is able? Is that just a theory that you have about him? Or do you know for a fact that he is, because you have put him to the test and he's come out strong on your behalf? Daniel was a guy who lived his whole life with purpose. And every step of the way, God had to step into his life and take care of him and bail him out, because he was just living for God in the presence of people who didn't know, didn't care, didn't want to know God. And so I want to share with you some thoughts this morning out of Daniel's life about what it means and how we can serve God with a purpose and what we can expect during that time. So I want to begin. We'll end up reading the whole chapter, but I'm going to break it up into sections, and we're going to read the first 9 verses to begin with, and we'll deal with those. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 6 of the book of Daniel. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them 3 commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king may not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps, because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, "We will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God." Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. "King Darius, live forever. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps and the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document, that is, the injunction. Wow. The first thing that I want to point out to you today about living life with purpose is this. If you purposely live for Jesus, you can expect opposition. Now, there are a lot of people in God's church today who never, ever experience opposition. They get up, they come to church on Sunday morning, they go home, they go live the rest of their life doing whatever they want to do. Everything's good. They're very religious. They're happy to come to church. But they never, ever experience any opposition because they've never made a decision that they're going to live life with purpose. People who purposely live for Jesus usually excel in what they do. We see that of Daniel in verse 3. It says, "This Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom." Now, when you think about that, and I say to you that people that live for their lives purposely for Jesus are usually excel at what they do, and I don't want you to think that this means anything about, you know, they're going to get rich and everything's going to be good with them in terms of finances and you know, they'll never have a bad day and they'll never have any heartache and disappointments. Listen, we're all human beings. We all deal with the issues of life. People in your family are going to get sick. Maybe you're going to get some kind of a disease. Maybe you're going to have a heart attack. Maybe one of your children is going to be in a bad accident and get hurt or killed. These things happen to Christian people just like they happen to non-Christian people. But here's the thing that I'm talking about people of God who live their life purposely for Jesus, excelling in all that they do. Man, when you look at a family that they are focused, and I'm talking especially about mom and dad, they are focused on loving God and making God known to the world around them, and they are imparting that into the lives of their children. You see a family that usually there's no divorce that comes into that family. You see a family whose children grow up and they grow up to love the Lord and they follow after their mom and dad's footsteps and they do the things that God has called them to do. Why in the world do you see that? And then you see those people over here that have no regard for God, and you see their lives crumbling around them. You see them struggling in their marriages. You see their children getting in trouble at school and then sometimes later on getting in trouble with the law. And you see all of these things happen. What is the difference? The difference is, just like it was with Daniel, he had an extraordinary spirit in him. an extraordinary spirit that set him apart. It was the Spirit of God, the same thing that the people of God have in their hearts, is the indwelling Spirit of God that gives to us wisdom and discernment and courage to live the life that God has called us to live. And so you see people that are living their life with purpose, that are seeking out the counsel of God. They are asking God to deliver to them information about how they could live their lives. They study the Word of God. They impart that truth into their children's lives. Their businesses do well because they apply God's standards to their business principles. Their lives do well because they're teaching themselves and their spouse and their children about who Jesus is and the love of God. You just see God blessing people who are living with purpose for Him, even in the midst of the disaster that comes into their lives. And here we see Daniel, and I'm telling you, Daniel is not exempt from struggles. He had a lot of bad things happen in his life, but the Bible says he continued to excel because of the Spirit, the extraordinary Spirit that was upon him. When that happens, when you're living for God, God's blessing your family, you got a good, happy marriage, you got a successful business, you got children that are loving Jesus, that are growing in their faith, that are doing well at school and doing all the right things, you're going to have people in this world who become jealous of you. They don't understand. How come this family over here, everything, even in the midst of difficulties, everything seems to be okay. There's a calm peace. There's a presence in their lives that we don't experience in our lives. How come their kids seem to do well at school and they don't get in trouble and they don't have a bunch of bad things happening, and my kids are just little heathens? I wish my kids were like their kids. I wish my marriage was like their marriage. I wish my business was doing as well as them. I wished I got along with my employer and my people that I work with, my coworkers, the way these people do. Everything seems to be good about them. Why is it not good in my life? You see, it's human nature to be jealous of those who are enjoying success. And Satan uses our human nature against us all the time. Christians have the divine ability to suppress and overcome that jealousy if they are walking with God. Lost people do not have the ability to overcome that jealousy, because they don't have a spirit of discernment and a spirit of power living in them to do the right thing. And so humans simply act out their human nature. I mean, everything in the world acts out what it is. Dogs act like dogs, cats act like cats, humans act like humans. And jealousy is a part of the human condition. And so you have people who are jealous. And then here's one other thing that happens. Jealous people tend to act upon their jealousy. They're not content to just be jealous. Sometimes they act out on their jealousy. And in verse 4, we see this happening. These other commissioners, they were jealous because what was going to happen? King Darius was going to appoint Daniel to be the head of the kingdom. And they're sitting there saying, why can't I be the head of the kingdom? Now, think about this. Daniel was a little Jewish boy, not a boy at this point in his life. He was a grown man, but he had been taken captive as a little Jewish boy when he was 16 years old. These people, by the Babylonians, by the way, these people are now the Medes and the Persians who have destroyed the Babylonians, and now they run the kingdom. And they're like, we're Medes. We're Persians. We're flesh and blood. This guy's an outsider. How can he be in charge of the kingdom? Why wouldn't it be me? I've got the right blood. He just immigrated to this place. And not only that, he's a captive. He's a slave. He's a servant. Why would the king appoint him? And so they hatched a plan. They devised a way that they would bring some charges against Daniel. Because jealous-hearted people want to be above the one they're jealous of. And if they can't rise up above them, they will try to bring them down to their level. And so you may have people in your life. They may be relatives. They may be friends. They're jealous of the way God's blessing you. They don't know that the reason that God's blessing you is because you are living with purpose. Your greatest desire in your life is to love Jesus and to make Jesus known and to bring honor and glory to Him. And so they're going to rail against you. I have to tell you that over many, many years of pastoral ministry, Beth and I have experienced terrible things. We've experienced a lot of good things, don't get me wrong. But we've experienced terrible things, and sometimes those things were at the hands of people who called themselves Christians, who were members of our churches, who railed against us, oftentimes because they were jealous of how God was working in our lives and He didn't seem to be in their life. Folks, that should not be. And the only way that it won't be is when all of God's people are focused on living for God and have that purpose in mind and are on mission to live for God the way God wants them to live for Him. Satan is our enemy. He hates God. And so therefore he hates anyone who serves him. And the more purposeful that you are in your service and your ministry and your love for God, the more Satan's going to attack you. And oftentimes he's going to use people that you know as the opposition. So you can expect, if you live purposefully, the opposition will come against you. Here's something else that you can expect, beginning in verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. Then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's instruction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man beside you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den? The king replied, the statement is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Then they answered and spoke before the king. Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you signed, but keeps making his petition 3 times a day. Then as soon as the king heard this statement, he was deeply distressed and set his mind on delivering Daniel. And even until sunset, he kept exerting himself to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, recognize, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you. A stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and the signet rings of his nobles so that nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel. So the second thought that I have this morning for us is this. How can you respond when opposition comes? Obviously, opposition is going to come. People are going to rail on you if you live purposely for God. There is an enemy. We fight a spiritual battle. He influences people to do things, act certain ways, and sometimes we're the brunt of that because we're living purposely for God. What are we going to do when the opposition comes? Well, do what Daniel did. First of all, talk to the Lord about it. In verses 10 and 11, the Bible says that Daniel went back to his house. He went up onto his rooftop to his prayer room. His prayer closet is what we like to call our prayer place, right? I have a prayer closet. Daniel's prayer closet was right out there in the open where everybody could see him praying. He had windows that faced Jerusalem, and he went out on his rooftop and he prayed so that all of the kingdom could see who he was praying to. And he went out there and he began his prayer with thanksgiving, thanking God for all the things that he had done. And then it says he moved to supplication. And supplication is a verb in the Hebrew that means to show favor to or to have mercy upon. Listen, I want you to know and understand that Daniel knew the significance of the trouble that was coming his way. He understood the law of the Medes and the Persians. He knew that that law could not be revoked. Once the king made a decree, it was law forever. He knew that he had been attacked by the enemies of God for his faith. He knew the seriousness of the situation, and so what did he do? He went to the God who was able. And he said, God, listen, the Bible talks about him making his prayers and supplications to the Lord. It doesn't give us exactly the details of exactly what he said, but I can imagine it being something like this. God, I have served you in exile since I was 16 years old. I have faithfully stood for you. I've done everything that you have asked me to do. And I am standing for you again, knowing full well that this could cost me my life. I'm asking you to intercede, but if you don't, that's okay because you're God and I'm not. But Lord, I got some more things I'd like to accomplish on this earth. It sure would be nice if I wouldn't have to go into that lion's den. So let's just be real. He was a human being, and he didn't want to get eaten by a lion any more than you want to get eaten by a lion. Amen. And so he cried out to the Lord because he trusted the Lord, because he knew his God was able. He had a lot of options. He could have appealed to the king. He could have said, King, I've served you well for a long time. You owe it to me. He could have fled the country. I mean, he could have taken off and run and tried to escape. He could have given in to the decree and compromised his convictions and quit living life with a purpose. He could have said, it's too difficult to live with a purpose. I'm not going to pray as I have prayed every day all of my life. I'm going to go into secrecy and I'm not going to let anybody know that I'm whispering my prayers to the Lord because it's gotten too tough to be on mission for God now. He didn't do any of those things, did he? He prayed to the God who was able. You know what else he did? He remained faithful. He did what he'd been doing all of his life. He just worshiped and trusted God. He was taken captive when he was 16 years old. Now, at the time of this story, he's 80 years old. He has served God faithfully through, he's on his third king now. Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, was the one that took him captive. When he died, his son Belshazzar became the king, and then he died, and then the Medes and the Persians overtook the Babylonians, and now Darius is the king. This little exile from Judah, this little Hebrew boy, this little slave boy, he's on his third king. Kings have come and kings have went, and Daniel's still serving God. And so he's remaining faithful. He stood firm against the demands of the king that would have caused him to forsake his trust and his worship of God. He made a commitment early in his life, a commitment that no matter what came his way, he would remain faithful and devoted to his God. One of the things the enemy wants to do is the enemy wants to discourage you from living a life with purpose. Don't let that happen. Daniel's purpose in life seems to be, from the account of his life and the record we have in scriptures, it seems to be to demonstrate the sovereignty of God to kings and people in governmental authority who did not believe in the one true God. And he lived a lifetime as an example that there is a one true living God that trumps all of your false idols. And that was his purpose in life. And he made God known to all of these people. And ironically, God placed him in a place and gave him favor with all of these high up officials in the kingdom because they gave him the ability to translate dreams and to know and understand things. That was that excellent spirit that was on him, right? The Spirit of God. And so operating under the power and the authority of the Spirit of God, he was able to say to kings things that they needed to hear in ways that they needed to hear them, always putting God on a pedestal, saying, "My God trumps your God." And he did not lose sight of that. He did not let his critics persuade him to not do that anymore. Ultimately, every Christian has a purpose of glorifying God and making him known to the world. But every one of us is in a unique situation and we all take different paths in our lives. So we need to find our path and we need to live life with purpose as we travel that path. So if you're a pastor, you live your life with purpose, preaching and teaching from your pulpit and leading your small groups and so on and so forth, but maybe you're not the pastor. Maybe you're the person that waits on tables down at the restaurant. You've got to figure out that your purpose in life is to make God known to those people who you wait on. Maybe you're the doctor that operates on people. You've got to make people know and understand that there is a God who is able, who can be trusted in your situation. Whatever your vocation is, you've got to find a way. I remember years ago, I had a wreck, and I had to have surgery, and I went into the operating room, and the nurse in there said to me, she said, "We're getting ready to put you under. What kind of music do you like?" And I said, "What difference does it make what kind of music I like?" And she said, "Well, the doctor likes to listen to music when he operates, and we just want him to play something that you like." I said, "I want you to play something that he likes. I hope to not be awake during this time." And so I went to sleep not feeling very secure. Many years later, I had to go and have a procedure, and the doctor came in, and right before they put me to sleep, the doctor said, "Sir, would you mind if I pray with you before I do this?" I said, "I wouldn't mind a bit." And he prayed, "Lord, I pray that you'd give me wisdom and skill and the ability to do this procedure and that you would comfort this man as he's going through this time." Whew, I went to sleep feeling a lot better that time. Amen? That was a doctor that knew his purpose in life and understood what he was supposed to be doing. Making people aware of a God who can. The last thing I want to share with you is this. What can you expect from the God who is able? Verse 18 and the rest of the passage of Scripture, the king went off into his palace, spent the night fasting. No entertainment was brought before him. His sleep fled from him. King arose at dawn at the break of day and went in haste to the lion's den. When he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me. Inasmuch as I was found innocent before him and also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime. Then the king was very pleased, gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. The king then gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children, and their wives into the lion's den. And they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then Darius the king wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language who were living in all the land, may your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and enduring forever. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. And his dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. On his fourth king now. Served four kings. What can you expect from the God who is able? Let me tell you. He may allow you to go through difficulties and even dangerous situations to glorify him. How many of you all pray every day, oh Lord, please protect me today. Help me be safe today. Isn't that what we all do? I prayed that prayer yesterday. We had friends came through on their way from Arkansas to Missouri, and they came by and watched the ball game with us, and we went out to eat after the ball game, and I prayed for lunch, and I prayed, God, please be with Robert and Kathy as they travel on to Springfield. And God, watch over all of our children and keep them safe. And God, watch over all of our grandchildren and keep them safe and bless them. Isn't that what we pray all the time? We always pray, God, protect me, protect me, protect all of my children, protect my grandchildren, protect everything that belongs to me. And sometimes I think God's saying, okay, but it probably won't look like what you're asking me. Because I plan to use you in a situation that's going to scare the bejeebers out of you. You won't feel very protected, but guess what? I've got this. Man, the circumstances that Daniel endured were relevant to his mission. Because in those circumstances that he endured, Darius came to know the sovereignty and the power of the eternal God. Darius said in verse number 27 in his declaration that he wrote, he attributed Daniel's preservation to the deliverance of God through signs and wonders. The God of Daniel, the living God, Jehovah God, the God that we worship. So don't get so caught up in your circumstances by dwelling on the difficulty that you're going through instead of focusing on how God's going to glorify himself in that situation. God may use you as you struggle through something. And he may speak to people that otherwise would never hear of his goodness and his mercy and his love if it wasn't you going through that difficulty. And then last of all, you can live your life of purpose with assurance that nothing can happen to you that God won't allow to happen to you. You see, he's in control. Common sense tells us Daniel should have been torn to shreds. But he was delivered by the power of the living God. Daniel knew the consequences of praying to God and defying Darius's command. But you know what else he knew? He knew that in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, the Bible says, "You shall have no other gods before me." And that was far more important to him than his physical life. He was ready to lay down his life to live his life of purpose, that God is the focus of my life. And making God known to the nations is my ministry. And that's what I've been chosen to do. If you live your life with purpose, you need to know that you can't avoid circumstances, dangers, difficulties, struggles. Some things just are out of your control. But you can have confidence in knowing that nothing can happen to you until God allows it. And I thank God for putting these passages of Scripture in the Bible where He just does miraculous things on behalf of His people who are serving Him and are faithful to Him. Listen, I don't want you to misunderstand. Every breath that you breathe is a blessing from God. Every meal that you eat is a blessing from God. But I'm telling you, there's just something about experiencing the spiritual blessings of God that hover over you when you make a commitment that you're going to live your life with purpose. I'm going to wake up every day focused on who I can make God known to. Every day I'm going to look for an opportunity to tell somebody about my Savior, Jesus Christ. I know that everybody's not going to be happy about that. I'm going to offend people. People are going to come against me for whatever and in whatever way. But I'm just going to trust God. He's able. He didn't call me to worry about the circumstances of my life. He called me to be obedient to my mission to make Him known. I wonder how many folks here today might just need to come to the altar this morning and just make that commitment today. That same commitment that Daniel made as a little kid. God, it doesn't matter what happens from this day forward. My focus, my purpose, my mission in life is to glorify You to everybody that I come into contact with. You may be here this morning and you may not even know this God who is able in a personal way. I've got news for you. The greatest thing that He ever did wasn't closing the mouths of lions. It was saving the soul of a lost person. That's still the greatest miracle that ever takes place. The transformation of a life of sin, a life that rejects Him, and transforming that person into a person who loves Him, who yields to Him and submits to Him and wants to honor Him. Maybe you're in that category this morning and you just need to come and tell Pastor Caleb this morning, "Hey, I need that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't really get what that preacher was talking about this morning about trusting that God. I need to get in a relationship with Him so I can learn to trust Him." Maybe you're that longtime Christian. You just hadn't been focused on Him, and maybe you need to just come and talk to the Lord. You don't need to come and tell the preacher or anybody else. You just need to come and tell the Lord, God, from this day forward, my purpose is to honor and glorify you and to make people know who you are. I'm going to lead us in prayer. The musicians are going to come. Pastor Caleb's going to be here to receive you. If you need to make some sort of a decision this morning, or you can just come to the altar and just get on your face before God and talk to the Lord. Whatever you need to do today, this is the time. This is what we call an invitation. We invite you to do business with God. And let me remind you, the right time to do business with God is when God is doing business. If he's speaking to your heart, it's the right time to follow him today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Father, for this great example of your ability to do for us that which we cannot do. Thank you for this great example of this godly man who lived his life with purpose. God, I want to be like Daniel. I want to live my life with purpose. I want to be so committed that my physical life doesn't mean anything to me. God, I'm willing to lay it down in order that others might know you and might know the joy of your redemption. God, I pray for this congregation of people. If there's someone here that needs to be saved, if they need to be in a relationship with you, as you draw them, I pray that you'd give them the grace to respond to you. If there are Christians that need to lay it on the line and say, going forward, I'm living with purpose, give them the grace they need to make that decision. And Lord, whatever you do, to you be the honor and glory.